into the word a little bit on God's blessings on his people, on other believers in the word in the Old Testament, and how he looks at our lives and just takes care of us. And notice the manifestations. God said, there's no situation you can get into that I wouldn't take care of. So no matter what situation you're in your life, you might think you might think God's not big enough to get you out of it, but he says, I can get you out of it, because I'm God, and you're my kid. So, and that's a great comfort to know that God cares for us. And ever since he made man, the only thing he ever wanted to do was do good for him. Mm-hmm. He never really wanted to, beat him over the head with a hammer, which sometimes he had to, in certain situations. But that's because man was so stubborn, so evil sometimes, he had no choice. So let's take a look first at the New Testament. We'll go to Ephesians 1:3. You all know this verse. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And you notice it says, who hath blessed us with what? In the past tense. So we're already blessed by God, but with the spiritual blessing. Now, spiritual blessing is greater than a natural blessing. Hmm. Like if I were to give you $5 today, Greg, that would be a great blessing in the natural realm. But that is not a spiritual blessing. Okay. A spiritual blessing goes way beyond something like that. Something that your mind can't even fathom what God can do for you with these spiritual blessings. But he said he's already done it. So do you always feel blessed?
No.
If you told me yes, I'd say you're a liar. No, we don't always feel blessed, right? Mm-hmm. But we are. Mm-hmm. And when you don't feel blessed, it's just the adversary getting in there, trying to steal the word from you. So when he gets in there and tries to steal the word from you, you don't feel blessed. It's your job, no one else can do it for you, to go into the word, see what the word says about the situation, and then you renew your mind to it and believe it. Jesus Christ had to do it himself, right? He had to do that. He was a man just like you and we were. He did the same thing. So it's great to know that God is up there with Jesus Christ fighting for us with these spiritual blessings that he's already given to us. They're already there. They're there in the financial realm. He could bless you with money. He could bless give you money. And if he does give you money, you know why he gives you money? To give it to others, right? The only reason God would ever give you money is so he wouldn't give it so you'd go out and buy new cars and houses and all that. He would give it so, hey, that guy has a need. I'm going to give him some money and bless him. That's why God would give you money, right? He blesses you with good health. Anytime you've ever gotten sick, you've gotten healed, right? We're all here in good health. Yeah. We've gotten healed. He blesses you in the physical realm. He blesses you with a family. Well, first of all, before you got in the Word, you probably didn't have an earthly family. You might have had an earthly family. But he blessed you with, after you got in the Word and you met a woman and you started a family, you had a nice earthly family and you taught him the Word, right? He blessed you with an earthly family. But he also blessed you with a spiritual family. Spirit, we're all one big family here. Mm-hmm. One big spiritual the one body, So you have two families, actually. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's the spiritual blessings. Let's go take a look at Colossians 1:27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches, the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when God sees you, does he see just an ordinary person? No, He sees Christ in you, and he also sees you in that hope of glory that hasn't come yet. So you've got these spiritual blessings, you've got Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you've got, you know, the promise that you're going to live with God in eternity, for all eternity, and it's just going to be a great life because you have a new spiritual body, and there's not going to be any negatives, and it's, God's already got this all lined up for you. Mm. You know, you sometimes can't see it, you forget about it, but he's trying to tell you, look, it's there. It's going to happen. Mm. Just hang in there. He's there fighting for you. God wants to do everything he can for you. You're his kid. Wouldn't you do everything you could for your kids?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Right? You'd do anything for them. And God's that way too. Even more. Right? Let's go back to Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So, how in the world am I holy and without blame before God in love? I'll never know. But I am. It says it right here, right? You're holy and without blame. So if you're holy and without blame, get rid of the guilt, get rid of the condemnation. It's not there. God looks at you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, no guilt, no condemnation, like you never did anything wrong because you're his kid. Jesus Christ paid the price. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to be guilt. You don't need to feel full of guilt and condemnation. Jesus Christ wiped all that out. That comes from another source. That kind of feeling. So what I'd like to do is go into the Old Testament and look at some of the men that he's blessed in the Old Testament. Before Jesus Christ even got, Jesus Christ was just, you know, a thought in God's mind. And we were just, it says right here, we were too, because it says we were predestinated. So we were just a thought in God's mind, like, this is before any of this really came into fruition. God was there all that time, still blessing his people. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. When he first made man, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So God not only gave man a body in a soul, but he also gave him spirit so man could communicate with him. And he gave him dominion over everything. And the other thing that he did after he did all that, he said in verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So after God gave, even after God gave him spirit, he did another thing for him. He blessed them. He wanted to shower his blessings on them. And it wasn't until, you know, the old adversary came along and ruined it that God had to come up with a different plan for man. So let's look at Genesis 3:14, where Satan came in and tried to steal this from man, because he didn't like the fact that God made man, gave him spirit, blessed him, and man was doing just fine. He didn't like that at all, because he's a troublemaker. Mm-hmm. 3:14. This is after Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and the Lord said unto the serpent, he talked right to him and said, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Whoa. Where's the blessing? He didn't bless the adversary, did he? Mm-mm. The adversary's not blessed. He's cursed. And above every beast of the field, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So there was the promise of the Messiah. God had to get us out of the mess that we were in, because we lost everything. Man was now just body and soul. Imagine that, having body, soul, and spirit. You wake up tomorrow, and now you can't speak in tongues. And you can't communicate with God. You're just back to, you know. Imagine that. And that's how it was. They lost their spirit, so now they just had to go by their natural senses. You know. And it got them in a lot of trouble, too. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Let's see, this is verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So after God made man, and then man lost body, soul, and spirit. The spirit, and they were just body and soul. Things really went bad. Every man on earth, except for Noah, was wicked. That's pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
Man was in a pretty bad state. And I can't believe God says this, but he says, I'm sorry I made man. That's pretty hard to believe. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and every creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was one man standing that had a heart for God, and that was Noah. And thank God he did, because if he didn't, we wouldn't be here today, yeah. Right? Let's look at Genesis 8, verse 20. And this is Noah after the flood was over, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast of, and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. God knew man was only body and soul, and the devil was there to egg him on, and that from the time you're born, your influence with all the negative influences of the world. And some of us who have not, we haven't been brought up in the Word. We might have been brought up, you know, another, maybe no religion, maybe another religion that taught guilt. I mean, it was hard once we learned the Word to renew our mind to it. Mm-hmm. And those things, when you learn, when you're a child, those things can carry on with you for all your lifetime. So it's really hard to, you really got to struggle and work at it to get to the Word and renew it, to get rid of all that negative stuff that you learned beforehand. You know, it's not easy to do, at least not for me. I know for me it's not easy to do. A lot of times I have to just, you know, no, don't think that way. Go back to the Word and think this way, you know, because it's not right. But here it says, For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. So it kind of couldn't help it. It was there, you know? Yeah. But God promises in the future that there will be no negatives. You have a new body. You're going to have a new mind. You're going to be just like Jesus Christ was when he was resurrected. So that's going to go away. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So that's great, great comfort to know that God says, you know, they're always talking about, oh, it's been so hot this summer. Oh, I think this is the end of the world. Oh, it's been so cold this winter. I think this is the end of the world. Oh, you know, the ozone is depleting. Oh, God. It says here, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, you're going to get food, right? You plant your garden, you're going to get food. That's it. Cold and heat, well, it's going to get cold and it's going to get hot. It's guaranteed, right? Summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. It's a promise of God. There it is. So why are they going off on all these tangents about the end of the world? It's not going to happen until God says it's going to happen in his word, you know? And thank God that he gave us this promise. It says, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fish of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. The only reason you can eat shark or whale, which are bigger than you and meaner than you, is because God said he delivered them into your hand. So we're the ones that could eat the sharks, rather than the sharks eating us, when you're in the right environment, you know what I mean? He never told you to jump in the water and go swimming out in the ocean and tempt the sharks. Every moving thing that liveth shall be food for you, even as the green herb I have given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. He, for some reason, he didn't want people eating blood. I'm all for that. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. So it, because of sin, yes, you will have to die unless Jesus Christ comes back, because it's required of us. Whoso sheddeth man's blood by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spoke unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. So God here is making a covenant with Noah, and he's saying, I'm not going to destroy the earth with a flood anymore. I'm never going to do this again. You know, it was a one-time thing. I'm not doing it anymore. We're going to wait for Christ to come back, to come for the first time. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between you and me and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token and a covenant between me and the earth. So God gave us the rainbow. Every time we see that rainbow, we know that's the covenant that God gave to Noah, that I'm not going to destroy the earth again with a flood. Genesis chapter 12. Let's see, let's go to verse 1. Now we're getting into Abraham. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that's us, all the families of the earth. That's us. Because Abraham listened to God, we're blessed too. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. To me, that blows my mind, because here, you're 75 years old. You figure, 75 years old, you don't want to go. You want to pick up all your stuff and move at 75? But he did it. He listened to God, and thank God he did, right? And God promised. He said, you do this, and I'll bless you. And he did. He made him great. He made Abraham great. Genesis 26, verse 1. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abram, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell of thee. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. So here's Isaac, Abraham's kid, and here God's extending that blessing to Isaac. Because not only did he give it to Abraham, but he said, all generations after you. And there it is. He's extending the blessing. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice. See that? He obeyed him and kept my charge and commandments, my statutes and my laws. Because Abraham obeyed God, now Isaac's blessed. And now Isaac's blessing is going to carry on and so forth. So God's right there watching over his people all this time with blessings. He never was there to do man harm. He was there to bless man. And as long as, well, what's it saying? Because Abraham obeyed my voice, he kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws. As long as man did that, what was he? He was blessed, right? He received God's blessing. Let's look at Genesis 35, verse 9. Now we got Jacob. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. So now Jacob, the son of Isaac, is getting the blessing also. This blessing is just carrying right on generation and generation and generation. And it carried all the way to us when Ephesians 1:3, where it said, spiritual blessings. Mm-hmm. We've got them. So is there any doubt in your mind that God wants to bless you? Mm-hmm. No doubt in my mind, right? That's God. Let's look at Psalm 128. My page is stuck together or something. There we go. It says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. So when you fear or treat God with respect and awe, and you walk in his ways, you're blessed. Hmm. You're blessed. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. You're going to be doing very well. If you respect God, do his ways, you're going to be doing very well. That's what it says right here. He promises it. Mm.
Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table.
You can have a nice family, right? You're gonna be, God's going to bless you with a nice family.
Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed who feareth the Lord.
That's us, right? We fear the Lord. We treat God as with love, respect. We care for him, so we're blessed.
The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. And that blessing is going to extend to your children's children.
So, just keep in mind that we have that spiritual blessing, as it says in Ephesians 1:3. God sees us as Christ in you, the hope of glory. God says you're holy and without blame in front of him. There's no condemnation. And that he's there to bless not only you, your children, and then your children's children. So God, we thank you that you are a God, that you're there to bless us, that you love us so much and take care of us, and that we can look to you for those spiritual blessings and know you're there backing your word up 100% for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Frank. That was great. Reminds me of that verse in Proverbs that says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it.
Mm, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. It really does. It really does. Because when you're a young parent, you look around at all the other kids, you know, that you know, especially ones out in the world, and you see, like, there, so many of them are troublemakers and getting into trouble, and you can... You can worry. Say, oh, my kids don't turn out like that. But then you look at the kids of believers that are, you know, standing on the word, and you say, these kids, they're not like all the other ones. They're blessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something different about
them. They're good-hearted. They believe God, and it gives you great peace. And then as you stay faithful to the word, you see it come to pass. You see your children are blessed. And you look forward to the grandchildren going to be blessed.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. And it's like, you know.
Because that's the problem. The promise is children's children.
Yeah, children's children.
Yeah. Well, Barbara was sharing about Matthew last week, about how they're already starting to teach him to pray, like if he falls down or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for it. And he already knows how to say amen at the end of the prayer. What, like two doves?
Not quite, about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Start early. It's so great to be able to bring your kids up in the Word. Like, we didn't grow up in the Word. Now, like, junk overcome, you know?
Yeah, it still comes back. Word. You know, like you said, it still comes back in your mind. You have to intentionally
get rid of it. And you got to go to the Word and try to put the Word in your mind and stick with that, you know. You can't let it overcome you.
Yeah.
You know? It's always a fight. It's always a struggle. Like the spirit lusteth against the flesh, mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, it's underneath that God already knows what he has prepared for us. And, you know, like you said, he sees that hope of glory already before it comes to pass. Because he's planned for it, he's prepared for it, and he knows what he has in store for you.
Tells us to walk in the heart of God. And
yeah.
Like that's the mind, you know, that's the mindset that God has. That's how he can look at you and see no sin, because as far as he's concerned, you died already. You paid the price, the price for sin. And all he sees is that original plan, like his will. It's great to see that in Genesis, like that's his original will for man. That's never changed. Like, you know, everything he did was to bring us back to what he had originally.
And even better in so many ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the adversary is going to be destroyed, and there won't be any active negative influence there. Because that adversary, he's intentionally trying to mess people up.
Yeah. It's well, you can see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like
He's planning on it. He's working at it.
Oh, you know what? I skipped the part. I must have missed it. I skipped the part where I was going to go into one of the verses where he tempted Jesus Christ and showed him all the, you know, kingdoms of the world. And he didn't tempt him when he was at his best. He waited till he was weak.
Yeah.
He didn't eat. Yeah. He was hungry. He was tired.
That's,
you know,
typical,
he's such typical, right? Mm-hmm. Just typical
kick him.
Yeah. Kicking when he's down kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And he showed, and I mean, imagine showing him, you know, being shown you're weak and tired, and he shown all his power and the glory of it, and and Jesus Christ had to say, no, you know, it is written, you know, you should serve the Lord God and Him only, you know.
It's great to know that Jesus Christ
should have had that figured out before he started his little rebellion.
Because the adversary can't offer blessings. He's not blessed himself. He can't. No. He can't bless anybody.
And even if he did give you all the kings of the world, he'd probably take it back. You know, he's a liar, right?
Yeah,
he's a liar and a cheat. So
he would, and he kills his own. You know.
Yeah.
You know, he can't give someone eternal life. You know, so anything that he would offer anyone would only be temporary. Because he's going to be destroyed himself. He can't back up his own word.
And he's just trying to take as many people with him as he can.
But you know what's great is that when I realized that it said that God didn't curse us, like the curse came upon us, it said because you have done this, you're cursed. It's like God blesses, like God is good. And it's like in Deuteronomy 28, he said, you know, there, heaven and earth against you as a record. This is my word. If you do it, you'll be blessed. If you don't do it, you'll be cursed. Like that's the choice. Like God doesn't want to curse you.
And God didn't really curse Adam, did he? He said the ground is cursed for your sake.
Yeah, the ground's cursed for your sake.
He said that.
He never. He actually blessed him and said, replenish the earth.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. He told the adversary, you're cursed.
You're cursed, yeah. That's who he cursed.
Yeah.
He cursed the adversary.
He didn't curse Adam.
No.
They just said the ground is cursed for yours.
But unfortunately, you know, things went downhill until Noah. You know,
yeah.
Well, I don't even know if he cursed the adversary. He said, because you have done this, you're cursed. Like, he didn't say, I curse you.
Just no, but because of what he did, he was cursed.
Said, you are cursed.
Right.
He didn't say that to Adam. So the ground is cursed for your sake.
He didn't say, because you did this,
you are cursed.
He didn't say, because you did this, you're blessed.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking about blessing all through the Bible, but there he's talking about a curse.
Yeah, we want to be in issues.
And the curse is really just separation from God, like separation from his blessing.
Yeah, and he told him what his end would be. You know, that he'd have his head crushed, and that between that time he'd be crawling on his belly and eating dust all his days, so he'd always... His plans would always be foiled.
Yeah. And then when Jesus died, rose again, he stripped him of basically all the authority that he had over man. If man wants to, they can receive the Spirit and they have authority over the devil.
Mm-hmm.
They have that dominion that, you know, God originally wanted man to have.
Yeah. And this time you can't lose it.
Satan tried to steal it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You could fail to exercise it.
Right.
But then...
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to exercise it. But
that would only be a temporary thing, because even if you failed to exercise it, then you could renew your mind and start walking again. But the day's coming where the adversary will be completely destroyed and won't even have that influence anymore. You know?
The only thing I'm really sorry about is that when God burns the earth up, burnt my Martin guitar up. kind of feel sorry.
It does talk about stringed instruments, though.
There'll be strings that never break up in heaven.
Martin
strings.
Above and beyond.
Right. Gotta be even like far beyond.
So good, you won't even have to change the strings anymore.
Well, the guy that invented Martin guitars was a Christian.
Maybe angels.
His first name was Christian.
Maybe angels will put strings on for you.
That's why the company is so blessed. When you think about it, it's like a small town.
do that now? We, well,
what are we
going to
do now?
We're going to do now. We're all blessed. I mean,
for abundant sharing.
Would you like to pray for the abundant sharing, honey?
Yeah, you know what? Where's my
horn? Well, there's a horn right over there.
On the table right over there. All right. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for how you have blessed us in every category of our life and that we can just be mindful of that. And thank you, Father, that we can return to you a small portion of what you've done for us out of great love and appreciation. And that just shows forth that we trust you and that we honor you and reverence you in our finances and with our hearts. And we thank you for the gifts and the givers, for blessing them, and for that money being used to spread your word and to further your work. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Now, sis?
Let's see. Women's Fellowship coming up. It's just next week, right?
Yeah, next weekend on Saturday at noon.
Noon?
Yeah.
Nooner.
Next Saturday.
And between now and then, there'll be the Wednesday Fellowship at the Hamiltons. And then the Sunday after, we'll be meeting here again.
Yeah. Unless Christ returns. I hope not, because I want to be involved in the wedding.
I know, we're all so excited.
And the wedding's coming up.
We preempted.
Just a few weeks. Exciting times ahead.
19 What's that?
20 days.
20 days.
Less than 3 weeks.
I know, it's not even 3 weeks.
Oh boy. And I think we have some kind of snacks in the kitchen with like cherries and cheese. Yeah, you don't have to be afraid of all the things happening to you that happen to everybody else that you see around.
Yeah, people, whenever you talk to them, you know, they're always so full of fear of everything, you know.
Yeah.
Because the world's pounding it in their head every day.
You have your bride.
Yeah, without a promise of God to go by, it's like you're just hoping that things work out all right, but expecting probably won't. But when you have a promise of God, and really a lot of promises, that's what gives you the great confidence. Because you can say, you know, I'm not just a lucky guy. I'm the reason why things are going so well is God promised it and he's faithful.
And he blesses us. He's his blessings on you.
That's so weird.
Yeah, part of the blessing with Job was that hedge of protection around him.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
The adversary, even a minute, you got a hedge around him.
Yeah.
Can't get to him.
Try and get in there.
Right.
Yeah, but when the adversary defeats someone, it's, you know, he doesn't really gain anything. Except for temporary satisfaction. Because what does he get?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he's a weird dude.
I mean, people say that, well, he got somebody's soul, but he really doesn't. He really doesn't get somebody's soul. He can just stop him from getting eternal life if he can stop him from getting the word. But
that's what they mean about
the one thing.
Yeah, but he doesn't really get him.
Can kill them all.
Yeah, but what is
the one
game?
Thing that I can
nothing.
Tell about his motivation?
Satisfaction of keeping that one person from getting eternal life.
Yeah,
that's what he gets.
It's just a temporary satisfaction. Yes. That's it.
He rips that person off from being part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing about pride. Like when I know at least with myself, like when you're
prideful,
when you're prideful, you kind of like are blind to like that, you're just like stubborn and you just like you don't care.
Yeah, pride, it says in the word
like,
pride's
like,
really
pride
bad.
Pride doesn't make sense, you know what I mean? It's just
pride's really bad.
Yeah, when you're self promoting and trying to be better than everybody else by knocking everyone else down. good as it. It leads to the person's own destruction.
Moses was a great man. He was meek.
Yeah.
Meek and humble. And the census was never abated.
Yeah.
He was like
120 years old and still had his eyesight and his full strength.
That's something.
Yeah. But he's the most humble man in all the world, he said.
Upon the face of the earth.
Yeah.
That's quite a statement.
That's what God could talk to him face to face, you know. The other guys, they wouldn't even
said in a vision or a dream, you know, maybe
he
might give him something here and there. But Moses he could just talk to. Because like when they made the tabernacle, Aaron is the high priest, could only go in there once a year. Moses went in there
whenever he wanted
all the time.
Yeah.
He didn't have a schedule, you know, or rules about it. God would talk to him from within that Holy of Holies. He said he would hear God's voice out loud, like the radio was on.
Wow. That is.
And he said his face was physically shining after he would talk to God.
People couldn't look at him, right? Yeah. Yeah.
I guess that's why in those drawings it has those rays coming out of his face.
Wow.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, and he wanted to see God, and God said, "I can only show you my back parts. I can't show you my side. Yes, you'll burn up.
Yeah.
The light's too great."
Hmm.
That's a lot of power.
But then you have Jesus Christ, who's just living in the presence of God all the time in his new body, and we'll get that privilege. Because in the new heaven and earth, there won't be a sun or a moon. God will be lighting up the place. So hard to imagine.
Yeah.
And we have that power in us, like it says that God is in us.
Mm-hmm.
We have, like, all, you know, that very glory that would have destroyed Moses because he was a natural man. It's inside of us, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Respect.
Yeah.
Yep. It's, I just have to show you a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if we like believe and receive like 10%, you know, what God promises us, it's like,
I know,
blow you away.
Fresh and what's the name of the other one? Just Friends? Fresh and Friends.
Yeah, we heard the music playing.
Yeah.
Remember, distance is pretty loud. It's not fun.
Yeah,
it was under like a tent or something.
Good.
Going back and forth, like the bass note and the main.
Oh, yeah, that's really, really expensive.
High end. Mm-hmm. They're pretty good at replacing my.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, well, the one I'm playing now, that's when I got the Grovers put on there.
Grovers.
Because the one that I had, they were like, just bent out of shape.
It's kind of like. I think you make stuff in China.
the market for about $400. I saw it online.
Need
tools, need special tools, and they need to know how to do it.
Yeah, so you mess something up. $400.
Be just like a hobby.
Well, some people have a fun of making it.
Yeah,
some fun of making it.
We're pretty good to try,
right?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind doing it someday.
And you take a class and then show you how to do it.
I have a place to do it. I love my.
Over.
Well,
depends on what kind of grocery
shopping. I asked Phyllis if she was going food shopping this week.
Yeah, I'll go.
Thursday goes by, that's the day we usually do it. No food shopping. Friday goes by, no food shopping. Saturday goes by, no food shopping.
I'll take it.
I said, today we're going food shopping.
I'm getting hungry. I don't think it turned off.
Sorry for scrambling out of the garden
break.
For food.
I don't think it turned that thing off.
It's like,
oh,
please, you had mushroom and onion, that was
like
all you
got.
It is.